Just you mixing your slop up. Essentially,
we can't catch that on.
No, this. Oh God.
It's not really picking up.
Well, you know, after I do all my editing and everything, it'll probably be super crispy. That compression's gonna work in our disservice, I think. As long as it's not directly into the mic, I think everything. No, I won't. I won't allow this. This is a travesty.
This is a disgrace of myself.
just for that affront to everyone's ears, I'm gonna need you to clap me off.
Oh fuck.
Yeah, that's yeah. I know. Welcome back to Weebology, everybody. The only anime podcast that runs exclusively on plot armor. My name is your unvoided Professor Ricky.
Hey, I'm Professor Cheese McFiligree.
Cheese McFiligree.
Correct.
Is it have anything to do with the diet of now? Is there cheese in that strange concoction?
So I did have extra cheese slices, so I just slapped him on top of the frittata.
That's what was on. That yeah. was what that was. Okay, because I was wondering in the pick that, you know, in the Discord, we like to post our food to everyone sometimes. There was just random yellow shit on top of an egg white frittata, and I'm like, what has he added to this that is neon in color?
Yeah, I had him for so long, I was like, I need to just use these suckers.
Yeah. But yeah, I had a hard week. Everyone in the Discord kind of knows that I was living a bit in the void, just how things shake out sometimes. And I decided yesterday at time of recording, I'm going to watch something feel good. And I had a buddy recommend the newest Puss in Boots movie.
Oh yeah, I heard it was actually fire.
Honestly, that movie slaps like a Catholic nun. Like, hear me out. The fight scenes had no business going as hard as they did. That was some of the best Sakuga level shit. Like, honestly, the camera angles were insane. CGI obviously was on full display here. It's worth a viewing. Even fans of like shonen shit, like, it was well constructed. All the fairy tale shit was really, really tight. Like, they brought in some deep cuts in the Grimm's fairy tales and the lore of just fairy tales in Western lore. And it all just tied in beautifully. John Mulaney, the comedian, is the main villain and just kills it. Absolutely crushes that
role.
Sounds
like funny in anything he does, so.
It really honestly was a very, very good time. And there were, you know, choreography in the fight scenes that, you know, had no business. And one of the other villains was the White Wolf of Death, who had no business being as terrifying as that character was, I guess, supposed to be. But they did a really good job. Feel good movie. Everyone who likes animation in general should just go watch it. Very good future for the franchise, honestly. But speaking of the future, frankly, the near future, I may add.
What you were going to do with that?
Long walk, but I enjoyed the view. Today, we're going to do what we always do this time of season, this time of year, and discuss the newest to come season, spring 2023, in this particular instance. Now, we are a little late on this one. This is why we kind of do them early, so we can never be truly late. On time, if you will. But someone in the Discord is like,
"The wizard arrives precisely when he means to."
Exactly, and we've arrived precisely when we have. And someone in the Discord was like, "Oh, the new Attack on Titan episode, like in the final chapters, was popping off." And I'm like, wait a minute. That was supposed to come out spring 2023. And turns out, I guess, that time change we just had really, really fucked us up more than we thought. And it hit. We are right at the doorstep of this new season. So it is our duty, as it always is.
But to be fair, it's a whole month ahead of every other show on here.
True.
For whatever fucking reason.
True. It's that one weird person when, like, you're hosting a party and they show up, like, weirdly early to the point where you're still kind of setting up and you're like,
I guess you can, like, chill.
Yeah, you want to just chill. I'm still, like, cooking the food. I'm, like
not ready for you.
And they don't really, like, offer to help you.
Right.
And they just kind of sit there expecting to be entertained.
I guess, like, in 3 hours, people will show up.
Yeah, right. So, like, do you want to play, like, Jackbox, just the two of us or something? Like, what do you want from me, dude? But, yeah, so this season, I'm going to
be honest. Sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm not going to let this go, though.
Okay.
Like, Attack on Titan has done things to us that just is so unfucking fair. There's like really a 4-hour gap between season 1 and 2.
Year or hour?
Sorry, year gap.
It feels like 4 hours sometimes, but because like this shit right here, they'll be gone for 4 years and then come in out of nowhere, and then they have the audacity to make the final quote unquote chapters like 3 parts,
right?
And
final then, chapter again,
and then they come in a month earlier than everyone expects the season to start. So like, it's, you don't even have time to like get hyped in a proper timetable. You're just like, oh shit, it's starting now. It thinks it's better than everybody. It thinks it's better than all of us.
Yeah, I really wonder, is this like a feel-good story of like how you should do hype, or is this just like an utter train wreck of hype?
This is chaos theory.
Okay.
This is chaos theory in play. Like, they'll, like, if you look at the trajectory of Attack on Titan, 4-year gap, drop season 2, 2-year gap, drop season 3, and then cut up your last 2 seasons into 8 individual seasons and then show up when it wants to fucking show up to the party. That's so disrespectful. And it knows they can because it's Attack on Titan. It's the guy that you like told everyone was coming to the party. And so like they show up.
A little Sigma.
It's a little Sigma grind set energy.
That's kind of chill though.
Yeah, right. If you really put it in that light.
Reject modernity. Return to monkey.
I want to return to monkey. But yes. So before we get into that, we're going to go rip down the list we have. And you can follow along at home. We used livechart.me. It's a great site that really outlines the season at hand, both television, OVAs, and movies. And it gives you a nice breakdown of everything that is to come or has come in the past. But we start off on this list. One Piece, go away. You're in time memoriam, obviously. But Vinland Saga season 2, it started last season and we're here now in the second part of it. I gave it the Religion of Three. I remember us talking about how it was a little bit slow.
Boring.
It's boring. But apparently the Religion of Three in this rare instance is not justice, that it really starts to ramp up once, you know, Thorfinn really gets out of his funk, his shell. He was driven to basically
revenge. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, in the first season, driven to get revenge, but then he kind of was like sold into like indentured servitude in the beginning of this current season,
right?
Kind of unable to face the sins of his past when he was hunting down that revenge quest. But apparently he snaps out of it due to some character interactions and some people that he meets. And I've had people at work and friends who watch the show really tell me it pops off like mid first part of this double core. So I'm inclined to jump back on the horse again. I don't know if you felt like you were too bored to care again. I can understand why it would take the wind out of your sails, you know?
Yeah, I think this is one where you gotta wait for it to be like fully out season 2. Because, like, just imagine if it was, like, you remember when we had that issue with, I think it was, like, season 4 or 5 of My Hero Academia?
Ooh, yeah.
Where, like, they did all this weird, like, slow pace show, plus they, like, randomly would do, like, a week gap, and then, like, all this weird shit. Like, I don't think this is a show where you could watch it weekly and be happy. I mean,
this is a binger.
I know a lot of people were looking for that, like, super deep kind of human story that you're supposed to be getting from the early part of season 2, but it like bothers me, like we built up this juggernaut assassin god lord and then he's just like, you know what, I'm gonna let myself be slaved.
But yeah, but then this is the other part of it too, is that remember how when we reviewed the first season that we were hyping up the fact that this is just a prologue, this is a long con story, right? So maybe this show inherently is built to be a binger. It's an epic we're getting in chunks. So maybe we get a hype chunk. Maybe we get a low burn chunk. And like, I think that this first part is a low burn, but it still is, you know, remains for me one of the best character driven stories I've watched in like 4 or 5 years from season 1 alone. I'm obviously willing to give season 2 its run, but I need it to be done before I binge it. That's where I stand on it. Because I don't know if I can stomach a weekly entertainment aspect of it having this slow burn, because that's how it was initially for me. And I nearly went a month of just like, okay, Thorfinn, we get it. You're guilty. You feel sad. You feel bad about yourself, whatever. But I need more. And you get more if you were to binge it.
Also, like, you're a fucking Viking, buddy. Buck up.
Buck up or shut up. You buck up or shut up, and he kind of shut up for like a month.
Right.
So, okay.
I wouldn't have added that as an option. I don't know. I just think in general, it's a little like, I think it's a very American look at it, because I don't think that was like, or I guess it would be Japanese look at it, because I don't think there was like an option to be a depressed little bitch if you were a Viking. Especially
right,
a royal one like he is.
Oh, yeah. He is of royal Viking blood, which
you
is
would
a,
think he'd just be like,
yeah, just absolutely clown on himself, like on everyone else. And now he's clowning on himself is what's happening here. So in our personal, in personal professional opinions, this one might be a binger. Let this one rip. Or maybe now that the second half of it's kicking off, binge the first part. Let this one stew. Let this one cook a little bit and then get after it in the second
my,
part.
Yeah, my advice is let that whole second season end and then wait for the dub to come out and then binge it then so that you
the
could
dub
do,
was actually pretty solid.
You could do like other shit while the boring shit's going on, you know?
Good play. I like that play. Speaking of crazy plays, back to Attack on Titan. Final season, the final chapters, part three, remix, the second drop, final cut.
The Reckoning.
The Reckoning. Man.
The Returning.
Yeah, like, I need to go back, I think, and, like, burn through the, I don't even know how to call what last season was, final season, second to final chapters, because it was like,
I'm in a pretty fortunate position here where I have not watched any of season four.
That is to your benefit, I think.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And
absolutely.
I didn't even know they were going to do this weird three-part, like, Deathly Hallows part 17 type deal.
Man, listen, it finally recaptured like the final bit. This is supposed to be the final chapters. It really reignited my hype at the end of where it stopped for the last bit before these final chapters. And I was like, how dare they? How dare they?
Well, season three, part two, which,
yeah, again, this
like,
is
honestly,
what they're doing.
Fuck these guys and their whole fucking families, was potentially one of the best like seasons of anime I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it just seems like very up and down. And I understood, like, of course, season four, part one had to not be just like pure fucking gas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's got to be some breaks in there. But I do think this is another one where you really might want to just wait till the end, because you never know if they're like, oh, JK, there's another part.
Here's my rub, is that we know it's Studio MAPPA. We know they're absolute titans of themselves.
More like Crappa.
Oh, my God. But I mean, they're actually like running their animators ragged. So dare I say, just delay it. Just delay it more. I don't know. I can't tell if this is their response to the shit they did earlier on in Attack on Titan's run, where they would basically wait 4 years until like season two came out. This might be their answer. I don't think it's a good one, but I'd rather wait. I'd rather wait and have them animate it, you know, in one big chunk or even two chunks, but let us know up top this is going to be in two parts, or even just let us know it's going to be in three parts, because I don't think anyone knew that this was going to be a three-parter final season. No, I haven't met anyone who's just like, oh yeah, I was in the know about that. So, I mean, like, the community didn't quite know. Everyone's like, wait, what the fuck is going on? So, I mean, there was probably a better distribution model that they could have employed, but people in the Discord have been saying that at least, like, these final, the first episode, and I guess now a second, is doing justice a bit, so the hype is the embers of all for hype are there for me, and I will hold on to that. And I guess I just gotta wait on it. So, all right, what do we got next? Ooh,
next is Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba Swordsmith Village Arc.
Okay, now this one's got a little more hype in me. How did you feel about the last arc, like the entertainment arc?
I would have to relook at our episode where I told you all about that.
I think I walked away from it feeling like there was a lot of flash and not a lot of substance, because there was just, it felt very much like they had infiltrated. They had, you know, like literally cross-dressed to get into the entertainment arc and into the ranks of these girls. And then it was just all fighting, all flash. Was it some of the best Ufotable has ever produced? Abso-fucking-lutely. But I don't know. I think the original Demon Slayers, like season one, captured me by mixing such high quality visual fidelity with really deep emotional, like cutting, no pun intended, within like the emotional aspect of it. And I felt that the second season was lacking a bit of it because it rushed through what could have been, that's what it was. The demons being humanized by the story is what made season one so really good. Season two felt like it kind of like blazed through that element of it. Those two demons that were like the low, like the upper six.
Right.
They had one half of an episode of their backstory. And we both, I think, said if they had extrapolated that a little bit over like two episodes, right, that could have been really emotionally impactful, but it wasn't because they're like,
we might also have been concerned about power cliffing too, because I think like going from absolute nobodies to like now just like fucking up
upper sixes
while Hashiras are getting their shit rocked is like a little weird.
Yeah, the trajectory, and that might just be...
But if you want a cutting story, potentially Swordsmith Village will give you that.
Wow, good fucking tagline. We don't even have a synopsis. Can we just write that in? Can we just contact LiveChart? Like, hey, can you just write that shit in real quick? Yeah, we were told that the Swordsmith Village arc was probably one of the strongest in the manga's running, so there is hype there, and if nothing else, you're going to get some sweet fucking fights. You just are. It's just how it's going to be. And it's good to see another Hashira's, like... power set. That's what I'm most excited about, is that like let's give more Hashira power exposure.
Mitsuri-chan.
Yep. I'm excited for it. Speaking of stuff I didn't expect to be excited about, but might, Konosuba's doing a very interesting thing here where it would appear as though they're doing an offshoot focusing on a single character called Konosuba, an explosion on this wonderful world. It focuses on our little Boom Boom Loli-chan Megumi, and
you're welcome for that.
Yeah, that was the one we discussed right before. I will give it a little bit of the synopsis up front because I think it's important to see what's going on. Ahem. 1 year before a certain useless goddess and neat extraordinary hits the scene, Megumin, the greatest genius of the Crimson Magic Clan, is hard at work. Ever since a life-changing encounter in her youth, the young wizard has dedicated her every waking moment in the pursuit of the ultimate offensive magic. Explosion? Well, you know, every moment not spent hustling food for her self-proclaimed rival. And while the big sister is away, the little one will play. On a routine trip to the woods, Megumin's little sister, Kamiko, finds a strange black kitten. Little does she know that this cat plays a key role in unsealing a dark god's tomb. Interesting.
Couldn't care less.
Really, really? You couldn't care less?
No.
Why not?
Konosuba is funny.
It is funny.
But it's not like... it's not world-altering. I don't need, like, fucking spinoffs of all these fucking shows, man.
Well, I'm gonna
I also wasn't just utterly head over heels for Megumin, right?
Okay, so here's the rub there, is that, like... In part, I think you're right, and I'm in your camp on that. It's not just about Megumin.
Join my camp!
Yeah, it's more that Konosuba being a sitcom akin, in my opinion, to like an Always Sunny or a Seinfeld, where it's four shitty individuals that are basically set up in situations where their shitty personalities shine for comedy, requires the entire group, right? Always Sunny doesn't really thrive unless you have Charlie, Mac, Dennis, and Dee kind of all operating, or even a couple of them operating in a situation. If this is solely about Megumin, I don't know if, like, I'm hyped because it's fun as a show, as a universe, but we'll see if she has the narrative chops to hold, like, the comedy for herself, but something tells me probably not. Because a sitcom doesn't work with one person. It just doesn't. Well, kind of with Curb Your Enthusiasm, but not getting into the sitcom theory, but I'm curious about it. I think I'll give it a couple Religion of Three, you know, vibe energy.
Yeah, I'm not particularly interested, but I do agree with you. It's probably going to be hard for her to carry the entire comedic weight of the entire show.
Exactly. But, you know,
thought would have been interesting potentially is if they had made that like a super serious like shoujo like version of it.
Yeah, lean hard into basically away from the comedy into some other genre.
And like, honestly, even change up the art style just as like a, I don't know, like almost like a really artsy kind of
expose into the world.
Yeah. I mean, again, that in and of itself is almost detrimental because it takes away, it uses a universe based on a sitcom to do something that isn't a sitcom. So either they A, have to keep it sitcom-y with one character of the group, or they don't, and you kind of left with this will they, won't they succeed in that situation.
No, I think you make it like a super serious shoujo, and then you like show how much of an insane asshole, like, you know, the rest of the squad is to make her go from super serial to like complete dumb dits.
So maybe she is like worse in the group. The group dynamic makes her shitty. But when put to her own devices, she's actually someone who can hold a different type of story.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Honestly, that could have played.
Kind of like a little bit of a subversion. I don't know.
We will see. But I mean, I think the next one you might be a little more hype about, frankly.
Yeah, I'm rather hype for Dr. Stone Season 3.
Yes. Ancient Pirate Adventure Mode, baby. We got ourselves a nautical tale here. I think it's something that we had even talked about at the end of season two. Like, we were hoping, I mean, kind of sort of knew that we were going to set sail on the high seas. Like, we had to.
Right.
I think the whole trope here, the whole thing is that basically they're seeking answers. Obviously, the overall goal is seeking answers on the global petrification of the world's population. At the end of season two, they realize that there may be other awakened colonies around the world, and it's kind of up to them. They really have no other option other than to seek them out. And what way to do that is they got to set sail, buddy.
We're on a boat, and
we're going fast, and we're going to find some other fucking science, man.
So here's the little summarization or whatever coming give me that blurb. From season three. With the Stone Wars over, the former groups or group members of Tsukasa's Empire of Might join forces with the Kingdom of Science to build a ship capable of sailing across open ocean to seek answers on the mystery of the global petrification. However, before they can begin their voyage, Senku and his friends need to find some key resources and push some new scientific advancements to build the type of vessel they need.
Nice.
Sorry, I blocked my vision with my mic and then couldn't finish the sentence.
I honestly think this is just more of the same, and that is in no way a bad thing. They have a new set of challenges to overcome. Science and its benefits for, you know, mankind will prevail here, and only our boy Senku will have that happen. I love that we have the other element of Tsukasa's, you know, Empire of Might. He's got more muscle. Go mine some more shit, man. Like, you know, help me build some more shit. I'd be curious to see the dynamic now between Tsukasa and Senku, now that they're basically two leaders of two different paradigms of how the world should be rebuilt.
Is he frozen?
Oh, wait. He's gone, yes, though. That's right. He's been petrified at the end of season two. I guess spoilers, fuck. Like, yeah, sorry, fine.
Well, he didn't even need to mention it, man.
Yeah, well, I didn't, but I'm curious to see how Senku is going to be leading the forces of the Empire of Might and all like those lieutenants that we met at the end to kind of for the benefit of science. Now, basically, the entire Empire of Might has entrusted Senku with their future and not just his own. I'm excited for that. I think it's going to be really cool to see this nautical adventure, and that will be at the very, very top of my list.
I think I don't want to ever be negative toward Dr. Stone, but there is going to be a point where it's like, it's just going to be them like, and like basically inventing like casting, inventing like, you know, technology.
Yeah. I mean,
so
yeah.
It's just like, I think going to be a little bit odd at some point because they're going to like, well, they could have already built the boat. I don't really know what they need to invent to make a boat. I can't wait to find out.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like what, in what ways will they be able to like need to overcome shit like refrigeration? Will how they overcome that to store food in long term? Like they basically have to be mobile.
They basically made a refrigerator last season, so
right. And they kind of like have been fortunate, have the resources of the land around them to maintain that technology, but they're gonna have to figure out a way to get it all mobile. They have to be a mobile unit on the water. It's a whole other challenge, and I think it's really interesting to see how that's gonna work.
It just doesn't feel like much of a challenge to our boy, but
nothing's a challenge for Senku.
Yeah, I just can't wait to see what scientific advancements they come up with.
Fuck yeah, baby.
I'd like them to create a, what's it called? Maybe I'll just not say. I forget. It's like a ziggurat class, like destroyer or something.
Like some crazy, like ironclad. Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, like just this massive ship. Yeah, why not?
Zunwalt. That's what it is.
A Zunwalt? Yeah. Awesome. So we got ourselves some, and I was telling Ethan off mic that we have a shocking amount of really interesting, like interesting shoujo slice of life school romance kind of situations on offer here. The one that, like, you know, Kubo Won't Let Me Be Invisible has had some pretty good reviews. It started in winter 2023. If you're into that kind of thing, it's a romance school signing, which makes it a little bit more
interesting. Yeah, I've watched this. I do not know how it's a signing at all.
Okay. And
I would also like to say, like, they have a little, like, when's the next episode coming out timer on here? It says episode 7's coming out in 63 days.
We've had a lot of delays.
Either something's really fucked up, or that's just, like, delayed until the Stone Age.
And maybe. It got petrified from Dr. Stone. Right. That's what happened. I'll leave that one alone for now, because I also want to talk about how we have... why am I surprised anymore, Ethan? The Isekai game just is like, you know, time is a flat circle, and so is the Isekai genre. And we have In Another World with My Smartphone Season 2, the one that everyone loves to clown on as, like, the most standardized bullshit Isekai. How did this go for Season 2? So late. So now. I mean, like, it basically came out, like, years ago for Season 1. Why is there a Season 2?
I'm just saying, if they're giving Season 2s to this shit, where is my Tsukimichi Moon one? Whatever the fuck it was called.
Moonlit Fantasy?
Yeah, that.
Where's my No Game No Life, you motherfuckers?
I don't care about that.
I care about that. Everyone cares about that. I want No Game No Life Season 2.
Yeah, but at this point, it's like Half-Life 3. You can't even, like... You can't bring it out. It's a joke.
It's already gone too lofty. You can't bring it out. They will it one day, but today's not that day. Instead, we get smartphone coon OG MC who clashed.
So I never watched this. Did you watch it?
I watched most of the first season.
Oh my God. You are just a trash man.
I'm a trash man.
An actual ghoul.
Like, it. I've never seen more of a 5 out of 10 show ever.
A 5 out of 5 show? Wow.
5 out of 10 show. You will not twist my words. It is the most mid of mids. And the only thing it gets a 5 for is that it's like, it's strung together by a story. Cool. Got it. 50 out of 100. You can take that one to the fucking bank. What's up next? Oh, yeah, that's
50
right.
50 out of 100 wasn't too bad in mechanical engineering exam, so...
And there's no curve here. There's no curve.
Damn.
No curve here. It's flat 50. And what we got on deck is another motherfucking isekai. I got a cheat skill in another world and became unrivaled in the real world too. Good God, guys. Like, at least they're innovating ways to be mid. Like, the studio, however, is Millipensi is the one who did I'm a Spider, So What? Which was a little bit better. It was a little bit all right. They also did Berserk, the CGI trash that was. But hey, you know what? I'm a Spider, So What was at least a little bit fun. I'll give you the synopsis of this because it's kind of short, but it's also kind of strange. Ahem. A chance to come back. A mysterious door stands open, inviting a boy who's been brutally bullied all his life to take a courageous step forward into the unknown. On the other side, he finds a hoard of priceless artifacts and a world as filled with magic as it is with monsters. The most shocking revelation, however, is that the show got funded and it's actually airing. Just kidding. And he can bring whatever he wants back with him when he returns to Earth. It won't be long before his double life changes him forever. All right. Okay.
So this is actually absurdly similar to a manhwa that I had recently watched, like, a recap of on YouTube, where basically, I don't know, his life sucks or whatever. He's broke as shit. And then he gets, like, this opportunity to keep going into this game.
Okay.
It's like a zombie apocalypse world.
Huh.
But he can bring stuff from real life into the game and then also from the game back outside. So he'll, like, they don't care about money, obviously, in this apocalypse world. They care about food. So he's just, like, taking all the gold and shit and then going back to his world and just, like, depositing it all and just becoming, like, stupid, stupid rich and then coming back to the game world with money or food, I mean.
That premise slaps for two reasons. One, the worlds aren't so insanely different that you're not bringing back these like magical items into your real world, but it is different enough where the resources in each other's worlds are no longer relevant, right? They don't give a shit about the dollar bill. They don't give a shit about the yen, but they care about that food. And then they're like, hey, we don't have any bread. If you can get some of that for us, that'd be pretty chill.
Twinkies, that'd be kind of chill.
That'd be fucking sweet. But I also have millions and millions of yen that we're using to barricade our shit with. If you want to just take some of that, that'd be cool. And he's like, yeah, I think I will 1000% do that.
But anyway, that's sort of the vibe that I'm getting from this show.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I'm a little concerned about the school aspect.
It does have a school tag in there. I'm not really sure exactly why.
And it looks like he's literally standing outside of a school in a school uniform, which concerns me.
God, he's an all black hair. He's fucking Kirito.
But he's also like so sick. There's no way this guy's getting bullied. You know what I mean?
Run that through me real quick. Like,
he
what
looks
do you mean?
Fucking dope.
Hold on. Let me see that poster real quick.
He looks like an Uber Chad. There's no way that kid is getting bullied.
Yeah, okay.
There's
he's
just
not,
no fucking way.
I don't think he ever was getting bullied.
That's what it
though.
Says.
Oh, does it say that he's getting bullied? Oh, he's been brutally bullied all his life. Yeah, what the fuck?
There's no shot.
Wait a minute, there's absolutely no
bullied.
Way. What the fuck? He's not. Oh my God. And look, and I love the way that they cut this poster too. It definitely looks like he's building not one, but two harems. Multi-world harem,
do.
Baby.
As you do.
All right, he's going to be Giga Chad number 35 clone, whatever the fuck. All right,
whoa,
let's see.
They're so mad at me. They don't like me because I'm so hot.
Oh my God, I'm too popular. I'm too powerful, but I won't tell anybody, so I'm brutally bullied.
My family doesn't have a lot of money. We can only go out to Chipotle twice a week.
I can only get one bowl a week, and the other one has to be the tacos.
It has to be chicken.
So okay,
I normally get double steak.
All right. But maybe the next one will be, you know, a little bit more flavor, really a unique one in the season to have everyone hype again. Summoned to another world again. Son of a bitch. Well, see,
it
this
does
one,
have the tag that matters, though, which is harem. So
it does. At least they're not being shy about it. I respect that. I'll do that. You can do the next couple, but I'll do this one because it's so up the isekai alley. There once was a hero who summoned to another world and he saved that world. However, the man was caught in a trap with quotations for some reason and forcibly returned to his original world. On top of that, he had to start over as a baby. This is a story of a crazy journey in another world where a former hero who was reincarnated into a slightly gloomy high school student is resummoned back into the same world. Bro, this sounds like ChatGPT.
I was going to say, it does.
That literally sounds
similar.
Like an AI could have written this anime top to bottom. And I, hold on, who the fuck? Oh my God. This is Studio Ellie. They did Ghibli 8. Did you ever watch Ghibli 8?
No, but it was horrific.
Dude, I watched 3 episodes of Ghibli 8 and I wanted to cry.
Horrific!
It was grotesquely bad. So, yeah, no hope on that. If you're really, really, like,
I mean,
rock
the world
hard for shit.
Harem is there. Like,
it said,
I really don't have a choice.
Oh, you, okay. When duty calls, I guess, you must.
It's the cross I bear for you guys.
It honestly is. Ethan is your trash Christ. He just, he receives the trash so you don't have to.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. But the next one honestly gives me some hope. Did you ever watch this one, The Ancient Magus' Bride Season 2?
I never did.
I did. It was good. Like, it was beautiful. I thought it started out creepy, but it actually was kind of heartwarming, and it never went down a bad path, just like kind of a white knight.
That's what season 2 is for, buddy.
That's totally fair. Can you hit me with the synopsis a little bit?
Sure. Chisei was able to accept Elias. Is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Elias, yeah.
And herself. If not necessarily everything about her situation. After Cartaphilus fell back into a slumber that would not last forever, Chisei was able to go back to her regular life. Then she receives an invitation from a mutual aid organization for mages called the College. Under the British Library exists a secret society of mages. Encounters and interactions with people who are about to open some new doors. This is a story about saving yourself to save another.
The one thing I did like about The Ancient Magus' Bride is that, like, They did a really good job of like peeling back the onion layers of like a mage society. I love the idea of it. It's kind of like if we there's going to be a couple shows in this season that equate to Harry Potter, and it would be as if they really leaned in to like the wizarding world, but more as kind of this layered political element to it. There's like, you know, Harry Potter does do some of this, like there's certain orders and there's certain factions. This show does this in troves. Like it really leans on, you know, diving deep into a lore that's always existed. And this this character is kind of just like being led through it. But for the audience member, it's really engaging because this world is extremely methodically laid out. Like it's well done. So if you're kind of into this semi-political, I would almost say, kind of element to like a wizarding take of a wizarding world, then this show is for you. And it's very beautiful. Like it's a beautiful world, both visually and narratively. So I mean, it's just like not a lot of action here and there, but it definitely leans more into the wizarding world is bigger than you could ever think, and we're gonna write about it. So, what else do we have? Do I even want to care about this isekai romance? I guess I will, because I already lean into it. The aristocrats' otherworldly adventure, serving gods who've gone too far. I'm not even going to give you the synopsis. It's more about just he's protecting a young girl at a convenience store when he happened to be there at the wrong time. He gets killed, I'm assuming, and then he's thrown into a world where he's only dreamed about, a world of magic and swords, blah, blah, blah. He's reincarnated as Cain von Silfold, the third son of an aristocratic family, and he quickly grows interested in
aristocratic
many things.
Meow.
Aristocratic meow. On his fifth birthday, he's baptized at a church. According to tradition, the gods grant him several divine blessings, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I'm done. I don't give a shit. Like, we've seen this so many times before. What? Sorry. I honestly, like, this kind of thing frustrates me a little bit because, like, don't make this an isekai. Just don't. Just make it high fantasy. Just don't make it an isekai. We can do without it. Like, the fact that the person is isekai'd in this case does not seem to matter.
I think it rarely ever matters. I think it's just like a really, really convenient trope that is just so pervasive at the moment that, I mean, and really for the last 5 years.
Honestly, yeah.
And like even manhwa, it's like almost exclusively some sort of reincarnation, some sort of isekai in general. So,
well, here's where I have a fucking problem with this kind of shit. Is that
sounds like you have a lot of problems with it.
I have a lot of problems in general, Ethan, but this is one I can at least try to solve.
Okay.
Is that this?
Okay.
This,
shit.
No. Yeah, I'm going off, sis.
Damn.
I'm doing it. So the problem here is that the line right there. Then on his fifth birthday, he's baptized at a church according to tradition. And the gods grant him several divine blessings along with stats that can only be described as unusual and extraordinary. Everything about being isekai'd was never important to what made him special.
Right. All I'm saying is that's extremely common. And I would also say this does feel like another ChatGPT created synopsis.
Do you think ChatGPT is like kind of our new overlord in the isekai world now? It's so easy to make an isekai.
I don't. I think this was like it's a light novel, so it's probably like, I don't know, somebody,
I know,
100 people viewed it or something, and they're like, all right, buy that shit, and let's crank this bitch out.
Okay, fine, EMT squared / magic bus.
I've heard of EMT squared.
I think we have as well. Let's give it a look.
Beast Tamer, I'm Quitting Heroing, actually
Assassin's Pride.
Good.
Assassin's
Love
Pride.
Love Tyrant, actually a fire show.
Which one?
Love Tyrant.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Never touched it.
The Master of Ragnarok and Blesser of Einherjar. That sounds cool, but...
Oh, they did Drugstore in Another World. I actually give that one a little bit of love.
And Kuma 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 Bear.
That one's this season.
No, the original.
Oh, the original Kuma 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 Bear. I guess they're doing some kind of sequel? Yeah, Kuma 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 Bear Punch is right next to it. Right next door. All right, EMT squared is out of here.
Destructive God sits next to me. I think these guys actually are pretty proliferate.
They are proliferate, but I mean, like, quantity over quality, my guy. Like, that's what's going on here. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. All I'm saying is, like, isekais that have MCs or situational, like, stuff that make them special, once they're already in the world, has no business being an isekai, because the isekai element being transported to another world is not what makes that person special. They could have just made it high fantasy, cut the bullshit, and just had this person born and at age 5 given divine blessings. and just leave it high fantasy.
I think what I really think it's actually just a convenient storytelling.
It's a fucking
mechanic.
Crutch, is what it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, crutch, mechanic, whatever you want to call it, because then you can like explain the world constantly. You know what I mean? And then you can also be like, this guy has something extraordinary, but obviously doesn't know why. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but at the same time, he's born there. Like, if he was like just put there at age 18, then yes, you have like a re-zero on your hands. You can be an ignorant fool and be like, oh, I don't know about this world. Please explain it to me. And he gets explained at him. And okay, fine, I can at least understand the logic of an isekai mechanic. But if you're born into it and know nothing more than a baby already would as you grow up, what's the point? What's the point? Okay, I'm off my rant now.
Well,
I'm just off.
I think it also just depends on like what amount of his regular intelligence and like mind or whatever he gets to carry with him, right?
That was not specified, so you could be right. That's fair.
Right, like what if he's like, I don't know, 8 and he's like blushing because hot girls are around him. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of what they're going for. That's the point. And
that's some Mashoko Tensei shit right there. That's what's
this
going on.
This does feel
right.
A lot like a Mashoko Tensei or like a 8th son. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yes. Yeah. If that were an element to it, fine. You have license to at least call it and narrate it initially as an isekai, but my anger still stands.
It is unnecessary. You are correct.
The next one I want to give a little bit of love to, because I'm really excited about it. We have kind of gone back and forth on what the name of it is called. It's either Mashle or Mashley. Mashley?
I think it's Mashley, Magic and Mushles.
Magic and Mushles, right. Yes. So this show I'm actually super hype about, and I'm calling it, I don't even call it a dark horse. I think it's going to be one of the best of next season. And there's a couple reasons why. Synopsis being, this is a world of magic. This is a world in which magic is casually used by everyone. In a dark, deep forest in this world of magic, there is a boy who is single-mindedly working out. His name is Mash Burndead, and he has a secret. He can't use magic. All he wanted was to live a quiet life with his family, but people suddenly started trying to kill him.
All right, I've got the exact pronunciation.
Oh, do you actually? Help me with
that. It is Mash-ole. Like,
Mash-ole.
Like, instead of muscle.
Mashle. it's a mix of magic and muscle.
Yeah.
Oh my god. All Mash wanted to do was live a quiet life with his family, but people suddenly started to try to kill him one day, and he somehow finds himself enrolled in magic school. Then he sets his sight on becoming a divine visionary, the elite of the elite. Will his ripped muscles work against the best and brightest of the wizarding world? Okay.
Yes, bitch.
Yes, it fucking will. And so here's the thing, students, is that you may be equating some of this shit, if you look at the visuals or a trailer, kind of a Harry Potter vibe. The uniforms are very Hogwarts-esque. You have color-coded people and scars upon faces, and there is definitely some element of that here, very traditional mage wizard shit with brooms and stuff. But you also...
Jonah mage shit.
Mm-hmm. If you look at the tags, action, and then comedy, and then parody. Before Shonen and Supernatural. This is basically a Psyche K kind of level shit on the trope of like Asta from Black Clover. He can't use magic, but boy, howdy is he a beefcake. And like the trailer did an incredible job communicating this, because in the trailer, you know what it showed? It started out with, this is a world of cream puffs. This is a world in which cream puffs are casually made by everyone. In a deep, dark forest in this world of magic, there is a boy who's single-mindedly working out. His name is Mash, and he's a secret. He can't make cream puffs. It literally is about baking cream puffs, but then he says, and I woke up, and that's the kind of dream that I had.
Right.
It's incredible. And basically, it really sells itself as an amazing parody of this shit that really
Tell me that ain't fucking Hogwarts, buddy.
Oh, I'm looking at it. That's Hogwarts, man. Like, aesthetically, this is Harry... That is Harry Potter through and through, my guy. Holy shit.
I mean, you've been flying around it like nobody's business, so you should know all about it.
Oh, yeah. Legacy's been all about it lately for me, which I'll be playing later today, so we'll have to do some backseat gaming on that. But I am extremely hyped for this, because not only does it use the visual aesthetic of a very well-known Western tale of magic and wizardry, but it is playing on the tropes that we've seen time and time again in the shonen space. An anti-hero in so much as not an anti-hero in morals, but an anti-hero that is prolific in being a hero against the current system, right? He can't use magic, but he still is, you know, gaining in spite of not having magic. And we see this all the time, all the time. And I am so hyped that they're leaning into a comedic element of that. And I think this is going to be one of the most fun shows of next season. You heard it here first. 100% saying it.
Well, I do think it's been touted pretty heavily from a manga standpoint. So I do think that that is a really safe guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we'll just have to see.
We're just going to have to see.
It does not tell us exactly when that's coming out. So I guess be on the lookout sometime in April.
April 2023. A lot of these just have April 2023. I'm going to skip Oshinoko, but I will just kind of give it a light. It's drum music, supernatural, you know, there's some element of, I think it's kind of like a idol show that has got more of a slice of life drama element to it. You know, if you like music shows, there's a couple actually this season that is worth your time, but Hell's Paradise is another one that I looked up that seems kind of curious, actually. I don't know, did you do any research on Hell's Paradise?
I didn't do any research on any of these shows,
as is tradition. So let me give you that premise, because it's called Hell's Paradise, known in Japanese as Jigo Kurakaku, or that's Koraku, I don't know. But the premise being that the Edo period is nearing its end, so you know there's going to be a huge historical slant on this as well. Gabimaru, a shinobi formerly known as the strongest in Inagakuri, who is now a death row convict, is told that he will be acquitted and set free if he can bring back the elixir of life from an island that is rumored to be the Buddhist pure land, Shikahavati. Wait, Shukavati? Shukavati? I think I got that right. I'm not really sure. In hopes of reuniting with his beloved wife, Gabimaru heads to the island along with the executioner Yamada Sagari. Upon arriving there, they encounter other death row convicts in search of the elixir of life, as well as a host of unknown creatures, eerie man-made statues, and the hermits who rule the island. Can Gabimaru find the elixir of life on this mysterious island and make it back home alive? This has some interesting trimmings. Action, adventure, historical, shonen, and supernatural. MAPPA's got this one at the helm, and it almost feels like, if I were to like postulate wildly on what this could be, that I think that this would be like a widespread tournament survival arc of other death row convicts with really high-level skills and probably some kind of supernatural powers element if we have an elixir of life. You know, involved here, and we're following Gabimaru, who's known to be like the strongest of a clan or a city as a shinobi. So, man, this tickles that fancy, man. This has got all the trimmings, and I did watch the trailer for this one. MAPPA's going off on this one for sure. I think higher fidelity than their other stuff that isn't already kind of in the works. So
I think, unfortunately, it's a show that looks like it's going to be really fucking sick, and then there's a chance it's just like uber boring.
In what way? I mean, I feel like just like how could that? In what way do you think that can be boring?
I think it could be like absurdly boring.
Interesting.
Anytime they try, like, I mean, not anytime, but unless it's like a historical play, like what's that one that we watched? The Samurai Boy?
Drifters. Yeah, it's Drifters.
Yeah, unless it's like a drifter slant where, you know, you're pulling all these people into like this really hyped up version of like an action adventure, I think it could be cool there.
I'm thinking more of like, but imagine like a Baki, but like supernatural. Like they've all been drawn there by a singular cause and they're fighting each other for the sole purpose of fighting each other. They do have a little bit more of a directed end.
It could be, I guess, a death game, but it doesn't really say that. It seems weird, though, because it's like almost the story of, who was it?
Orpheus and Eurydice.
Orpheus
and Eurydice. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's actually a
Yuri Dice.
Yeah, there is a Broadway show called Hades Town that has been a reimagining of that myth, and it's kind of popping off. My girlfriend went and saw it, and she said it was actually pretty good. So it's like a steampunk version of that tale.
That's sick.
It's pretty sick.
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This feels sort of similar.
Yeah, it does. So we got Ranking of Kings coming back again. I have no understanding. It's in the television section, which makes me think it's a new season. But I don't know if this is like a special or something. So I don't know. But if we got more Ranking of Kings, like, sign me the fuck up. I love Ranking of Kings. This one I wanted to pop off real quick. Love Yamada at level 999. It's a madhouse drama romance. And the synopsis is short, but it's kind of wild. Recently dumped, Akane is just about to quit the game she used to play with her boyfriend when she meets Yamada in the same RPG. Yamada in real life turns out to be somewhat of a legend. The only problem is he is only interested in the game. As Akane's feels grow, will Yamada focus stay on the game? So I can't tell if it's just like, basically,
I'll just
like,
go ahead and answer that for them. No, it will not. Thank you very much, Madhouse.
A good night. Goodbye. I don't know. If I like, that's one. If you're into like kind of like a game slant romance drama, it's better than fucking Rent a Girlfriend or some shit. Like, I don't know. This one tickled like
gamers.
It's better than gamers. If you die in the game, you die in real life, dude.
No, it's a game about gamers that fall in love. A show about gamers that fall in love.
I mean, that can speak to somebody.
It was chill. I think this will be more chill.
Yeah, I mean, there it is. This one looks just as chill.
It looks chiller.
It looks chiller as fuck. What else we got? Golden Kamuy's fourth season. Goddamn. Like, I didn't watch season three. I need to watch that before I even get into this. But, this has just been a consistent brains base offering, honestly. Do we care about the legendary hero is dead? I read the synopsis and it only didn't feel like...
I think no, but we're going to mention it anyway just because Leiden Films is like popping the living fuck off. So we may as well just pop her in there.
They are good at the fantasy romance, a little bit of etchy kind of thing. And like, if you're into that shit, this does look like a decent high fantasy offering in that regard. And like we said, Leiden Films have been kind of hitting the bangers in their own little pocket of the anime world. So... If you have had other things by them that you've liked, you know, they did Tokyo Revengers, they did Call of the Night, Love and Lies, they did Goblin Slayer, Magical Senpai. They did a lot of stuff that I think, and Cells at Work, which I was a big fan of Cells at Work. Killing Bites, if you're into the furry shit, like that definitely helped. I don't know. Like they go all over the place with the weird stuff. So, I mean, if you like their things, like this could be your stuff. This could be your shit.
How about My One Hit Kill Sister?
Hit me with that one real quick.
Comedy fantasy isekai seinen.
Oh, it's an isekai. God damn it. Yeah. But okay, I did read it. I'll let you read the synopsis, but I did read it. So there's one part of it that I'm really keen on.
It seems similar just by the title to that one where his mom is like a super accurate killer girl.
Yep.
Okay, the strongest one in this alternate world isn't me, but my older sister.
What?
I know. What a crazy turn. Asahi, a boy who loves video games, is killed in a traffic accident and ends up in another world.
Truckoon at it again.
He tries to enjoy the otherworldly adventuring life he's always dreamed of, but his stats are on the level of an NPC's. He's in a big trouble and is being chased by a monster when he hears, "Fear not, little brother!" And the monster is killed in one hit by Asahi's older sister, Maya, who followed Asahi to this world. So Maya has acquired some seriously OP skills, but she takes her adoration for her younger brother to the extremes.
Hell fucking yes, dude.
Thus begins our story about an overpowered older sister with a brother complex and a younger brother with the weakest stats in another world where, man, I'm strong becomes man, my sister is strong.
Honestly, isekai writers or people looking to pick up isekais, take fucking note. This honestly looks fun as hell. Because one, it's a show about a guy who is expecting to be the OPMC, but I think we've seen it. What was the show recently we just did with it was Eminence in Shadow, where he wanted his older sister to kind of like play the prodigy, right? This is where that actually fucking happens. And he's like, oh shit, I didn't get to be the OP, but the actual sister I had in the other world followed me here and got to be that. And the other part of it is I think it uses that like that little brother sister complex thing to a really interesting comedic degree where she like really, really wants to protect him because she's really into him. but she's the person who actually can pull that off. So he's kind of trapped not only as like the sidecar character, but trapped as the little brother that the complex is for. I think it's a, I think it's kind of an interesting, brilliant concept. It may not be particularly my mode of show that I'm like, I gravitate towards, but I think I might watch some of it because I think it's a funny mix of some of this stuff. I think they have a formula here. I'm into it.
But I do. I will say all of these types of shows, though, are definitely you have to wait till the end and then just like binge them.
You got to binge.
I would never
for sure.
be able to watch a show like this week to week. An example being, and it's not exactly similar, but that one recently, like My Hero or something like that, is like too kind to me or some shit. The Girl Next Door is too nice to me.
That's right.
Some show like that. I agree with everybody in our Discord where we were all like, well, I thought it was a cute little wholesome yada yada after three episodes, but like five in, nothing really changes. And you're just like, all right, you really need to get...
What are we doing
hit
here?
Hit the fucking gas or like, you know, get off the toilet kind of thing.
I respect that. So
I think I might watch A Galaxy Next Door.
I was just going to bring that up, okay. Honestly. This one looks a little interesting. It's definitely a romance signing, and it's kind of obviously slice of life-ish, but they're toting it as top billing as comedy. What you get here is ever since their father died, Ishiro Kuga has suffered and struggled to support his two younger siblings or nothing but a small inheritance and his passion for drawing manga. So we have like a manga artist trying to support his younger siblings. But it becomes harder to keep up with the growing responsibilities and deadlines, especially after his two last assistants quit to follow their dreams. Just as he's nearing the breaking point, the beautiful and scarily competent Shiro Goshiki applies to become his new assistant, but there's something almost otherworldly about Gokishi and, when I say that right, Goshiki? Goshiki. And soon, Kuga finds his reality turned upside down when she suddenly declares them engaged to marry?
OMG!
OMG! So I think...
That's like...
I hope they lean into that she's like an actual fucking alien. Like the show's
she's
title...
She's gotta be something like that.
The show's title dictates that. And the synopsis doesn't do what my radar is doing justice, I think. That there's definitely... She's like a rando alien that came over and like, I want to be part of humans. Let me marry you.
Okay, that's not quite the vibe I'm getting, but...
That's the vibe I'm getting.
She's competent, it said. So why would she be talking like an utter robot?
We'll see. We'll see when it airs.
I think for whatever reason... And she is extremely attractive from the picture.
She's a smoke show for sure.
I think for whatever reason, she just likes the guy. Maybe she's like his number one fan or some shit, maybe.
Oh, or maybe like she understands that he's like trying his best for like his younger siblings. So he's like,
because you tried your best, but you can't succeed. Whatever the fuck that song is.
She endears herself to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so another one that I think might be interesting, Dead Mount Death Play. Just because, ooh, you know, I like them death games.
Okay, I did look up the studio that did this. They put out Plunderer. Do you remember that show
from
2020?
Yeah, that's bad news.
That was bad news bears for sure. Data Live, Data Bullet. And I mean, they have not too much on offer outside of this.
Yeah,
so I'm really curious how this is going to go.
It's a showdown for the ages as the legendary hero takes on the corpse god Necromancer. See, that's all I need is like the super chuny like...
Yeah, takes on a corpse god necromancer. Are you kidding me?
When the dust settles, something isn't quite right. In the final moments of their epic confrontation, the corpse god's final gambit shot was wholly unexpected. Reincarnation magic? Across space and time, a boy named Poka Shinoyama awakens feeling not quite himself. Who could have expected that the climactic battle between good and evil would turn out like this?
I mean, that's the
summary. So.
Yeah, I think that's how I could have imagined that.
But I mean, the actual picture, it looks insane.
It does, honestly.
There's
look.
Like a stuffed shark guy in the bottom left. I don't know if you zoomed in at all.
I have not.
Holy crap, it looks wild.
Whoa, that looks very off-putting. The whole like, this looks kind of like edge for edge's sake, but I think you can kind of get, which is
fine.
They're
like swimwear, folks.
Yep, and they're like swimwear. The other one that was interesting that I saw right next door was The Dangers in My Heart. It's a slice of life romance, but it definitely the synopsis comes off a little bit darker.
Sure does.
Fascinated by murder and all things macabre, Kyotaro daydreams of acting out his twisted fantasies on his unsuspecting classmates, but an encounter with Anna Yamada, the gorgeous class idol, lights a spark in the darkness of his heart. It's a classic tale of an antisocial boy falling for a popular girl, but neither are who they appear to be at first glance. Will Kyotaro and Anna defy their expectations of each other and of themselves? I do not like a bit of the language in that synopsis, because it, to me, it seems like the main character daydreams of, like, quote unquote, twisted fantasies on his unsuspecting classmates. That is some real Quiet Kid in the Room energy. Like, that's like,
it's definitely school, like, shooter type.
Yeah,
shit.
Like, hey, I like you. Don't come to school tomorrow kind of energy. I don't like. Yeah, like, whoa, dude, like that. That I am. We'll see how that one plays out. I'd love to see some reviews on that shit. But like, it seems like the popular girl is just like keeping this dude at bay.
For real, so she's out there just saving everybody.
He just doesn't flame the entire like second floor's worth of classrooms. I don't know. I saw it and I'm like, that has unsettling vibes to it. And I really hope that that doesn't become like a, I don't know, a fantasy for some people and just be like, yeah, that's me. That can totally be me. I'm like, you need to definitely, you know, reevaluate some things if you're looking into that.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be one of those situations where he's just like, he likes, I don't know, True Crime podcasts.
A little too much.
He's a big Serial fan.
Oh, he's listened to it 5 times?
Yeah, he's listened to all the episodes.
Taking notes.
Well, he downloaded the first and a half episodes.
Yeah, but then tells everyone he fucking loves it.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't mean he can't get on Reddit.
Doesn't mean it doesn't go on Reddit.
You know, theorizing and shit.
All right, we can do. We're at the bottom half of the list. I guess we can do some rapid fire.
Actually, anything? There's like an absurd amount of just shows in general. This
there are
year or whatever. So
I just didn't see any others that I was like.
Well, so Can Cole See You Again on the other another Quiet Blue Sea seems like
that one did hit.
Well, yeah. It seems like I forget the name of the fucking show, but they're in tanks. Little girls in tanks doing cool shit.
It wasn't like, we'll have to look.
Doesn't matter. Point is, it seems like that, but in boats. they're called abyssal vessels, and all these girls that are being trained in this fleet are called fleet girls. And the story revolves around Shigure, a destroyer who has been newly assigned to the first striking force, third group.
Ooh,
so anyway, yeah. That does feel very much like that show that I can't remember the name of, and it doesn't quite matter.
Little girls doing war shit.
Yeah, one,
but doing it cutely.
The show right next to it is called My Home Hero. It's a drama seinen. Basically, it's a regular old, you know, salary man with a loving wife and a good kid in college. Well, finds out she gets her shit rocked and beat up, and then now he's got to get into the grimy underworld and start just doing crime, it seems like.
Well, what's that show, like, the Way of the House Husband or something like that?
Yeah, but
In reverse.
Either in reverse, like, yeah. Or it does feel a little bit like Tokyo Revengers, just older.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't have to do, like, the time-traveling aspect, but he just gets into gang shit.
Yeah, gang
shit. I can
gang,
vibe
gang.
With that. Gang, gang. We got furry shit on offering, well, sacrificial princesses, and the king of beasts, but
Heavenly Delusion actually looks pretty decent.
Yeah, let's go
Production
down there.
Production IG... Adventure sci-fi signing. Within the safety of the walls, youths are raised in a nursery-style setting by robots. While life there may appear stale on the surface, the children are full of potential and curiosity. In many ways, it is like a slice of heaven. The outside world is a hellscape.
Whoa, hold on, what?
It is almost entirely void of anything mechanical and is now inhabited by bizarre yet powerful supernatural beings.
Getting real Promised Neverland energy from this, honestly.
Maru, with the aid of Kiriko, is out there crisscrossing what was once Tokyo for heaven.
What?
I think it's just bad English.
It seems to me that this person is like alluding to Tokyo being like her heaven, like she wants to go there.
No, I think the place that they're inside the walls is like supposedly heaven. And so I think they're going outside and then coming back inside.
I gotcha. Okay.
But after searching for so long, maybe heaven is more of an untenable dream than a potential reality. I don't know what the fuck that means.
Yeah, I think this person has like, you know, they're not actually being raised in Tokyo, and then they go out thinking like, oh, I want to go to Tokyo. It's supposed to be this grand metropolis. this utopia, and they go there and they're just like, what the fuck is this? And it's just like a bunch of like magical monsters out there.
It's a hellscape out here.
It's a hellscape out here. What else we got? We got...
The rest sucks.
You know, Birdie Wing, Golf Girl Story. If you didn't watch that, actually kind of a banger.
Yeah, man. I'm actually considering it.
It kind of slaps.
I enjoy golf. Specifically, golf YouTube is more enjoyable to me than like professional golf.
Fair enough. So another one that I saw that's kind of like at the way bottom, and I think a bit of a sleeper here, is Rokudo's Bad Girls. It's by Satellite, who did Log Horizon and Fairy Tale, amongst other things. I think they had like they did Hellsing, Black Summoner, stuff like that. A little more niche stuff, but it's comedy harem romance school shonen. And I think this synopsis is kind of an interesting take, that the first line, Rokudo Tosuke is a loser and everyone knows it. All right, fucking narrator, calm down. Like, come on. She can't be that.
She is a loser.
Yeah.
I know it.
It's not a she. Luckily, one, it's a he. I didn't realize until I started reading. He gets picked on at school, gets snide looks from passerbys, and can only muster up the courage to complain in secret with his equally hapless friends. Looking to turn his life around, he desperately uses an ancestral artifact passed down in his family for generations, a scroll that is capable of subduing all demons. However, in the modern age, it has a different effect. It makes them all bad. It makes all bad girls fall in love with him.
Oh, my God.
So he it's basically, hear him out. It's basically
a guy.
They're
literally bad bitches.
They're bad bitches in every sense of the word. And he's building an unwanted harem of the absolute worst degenerate girls. And they're not like degenerates like lustfully. They're just like
bad girls.
They're gang. It's like gang shit.
Right.
Like they're in like
Japanese
gang shit. Yeah,
so like,
Japanese gang,
not
gang
really
shit.
Gang
delinquent shit. Yeah. So I don't know. That like it had all the trimmings of something really interestingly fun, and it's really deep on this list. So I'm kind of curious to see how that one definitely goes.
That might be one of those where you gotta wait for like a YouTuber to put up a video that's like
that really gets
guys,
you over the edge.
Guys,
hold on.
I know it looks stupid. I know it sounds stupid.
That was like me and Akiba Maid War. Thanks to Mother's Basement to describe it for me. I'm like, all right, I watched all of it.
Yeah,
it was fucking great.
Okay, I still gotta take a little Ganderino.
Oh, if you go in knowing that you're gonna be watching nothing of like, there's some substance there, but it's mostly just like
gang shit.
It's gang shit, man. It's like a grindhouse special. Like, it's just like you're mowing down other chicks in maid costume. There's so much blood. There is so much blood in that show. Like, you shouldn't be that much blood in this show. But honestly, that's the season. How'd you feel? I feel that there's just like a real random grab bag in this one. Like, it's a deep season, but deep in a way that's like a lot of things could hit. Like, they all were on, like, a lot of them were on the cusp of potentially hitting.
It does feel like there is potential in the season, but it feels overall weak as far as, like, carryovers. Like, typically there's a really good season because you've got, like, some absolute banger hitters just, like...
Mixers, returners,
returning
well.
And doing stuff like that. I think really, like, of course, I'm not exactly a fan of the moment, but, like, Vinland Saga Season 2, Attack on Titan Final Season again. And then season 3 of Stone Wars, like those types of things, I think are going to have to really carry it, which is good because this does feel like a season where if you were to watch all of these like things that have potential, you potentially would never stop watching anime. So,
yeah. And this is one of the ones for me that I think is going to be put the blindfold on, go to the edge of the cliff and really do a leap of faith on some of these, because I think some of these have all the trimmings to absolutely hit. For me, the dark horse that is the brand new one is Mashal. Like, I think that's going to be an absolute slapper. It's got Konosuba meets Harry Potter meets Black Clover vibes all over it. And I think it's going to be the new formula for comedy shonen that's going to really hit. So that's what I put my flag on.
Okay, I'm not
going right to
go
there.
That aggressive. The
I
new
will,
formula for comedy and anime.
And shonen. It's good. It's the new, you know, I think we've seen comedy shonen in the past. I think this is it. We have an OPMC who is the same trope as other shit we've seen in the past, but they're leaning heavy into the Konosuba style, you know, comedy sitcom aspect of it. I think that's going to be an absolute hit.
Guess we'll find out.
I guess we will. But thank you for coming to this class and hearing our absolute I don't know, obviously based predictions on all this shit. We're obviously right every
time. Right, of course. Never been wrong.
Never been wrong. But if you'd like to discuss why we may have been wrong in the past, which there shouldn't be much discussion about that because, of course, we haven't been, you can come into the Discord for $1 and up on patreon.com/shubology. It gets you in there with all of the past guests and the lovely Patreon folk where we're talking about, you know, egg frittatas and good shit on the new season. So
for turts.
For turts, for sure. If you want a little bit more content, $3 and up gets you the syllabus sidebar, our lo-fi, high vibe, sometimes anime, sometimes not, sometimes on hiatus, and sometimes visual show where we talk about life and things, and occasionally geoguess in Tokyo.
Right.
And
turns out
for time,
pretty bad at that.
We got a little better, and luck would have it, we do okay sometimes, but I watched you watch some of those like almost professional level geoguessers. It's they look at the grass and know within like 5 feet.
Yep, that's
they are
Mongolian
in the world.
Grass.
It's fucking stupid. But anywhere you're listening to this, all the links you can contact us is in the description below. And I look, we know you're on a platform. You're not just listening to this in the void. Go over two clicks, over and down, over 200 episodes, 200 hours of content where you can, you know, listen to all the stuff we've talked about over the last years and years. Like, comment, subscribe, anywhere you do those things, honestly. But, you know, I think I'm going to go make some chicken and edit at the same time because your boy's hungry. I feel like a raisin. I need to be refilled into a plump grape.
A raisin?
A raisin.
You're dehydrated.
I'm a wrinkled boy myself. I need to replenish my electrolytes. But until I can rehydrate into the best, plumpest self that I can be, I'm Ricky.
And I'm Ethan.
And this has been Weebology.
Deuces.
I'm wrinkled out, man. I feel like a geriatric. Just
you really
chicken.
Feel that wrinkled.
I'm
You're
so
desiccated.
Wrinkled. I'm decimated.